Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm just over the moon. I'm so excited. I'm at the American Patchwork and Quilting magazine studio and offices in Des Moines, Iowa, with the staff. I've got the editors of the magazine here. I have Jennifer Keltner, I have Elizabeth Beasy, and I have Jill Mead. And we are here to just sort of chat and have a whole series of segments about techniques and tips to help you have better quilting. And I'm going to talk to Jennifer first, and we're going to sort of explain what's going on with the magazines in the future, because we have a lot of cool things, a lot of sort of special interest things happening.
Thanks, Pat. We're really excited about this coming year. One of our initiatives in the office is to help people so much better.
Oh, I like
it. Say so, S-E-W, so much better. And so today what we're going to be talking about is all the tips and techniques that have come from both the designers that we work with and our readers, and also our personal experience, because all of our editors are quilters just like you.
I know they are. I think that's the most exciting part about working with all of you, is that you are quilters, that you are sewing every day just like the rest of us.
Right. And there's so much we can learn from each other. And that's what I love most about quilting. There's always a tip or a technique when you go to class or you watch and sit and sew with somebody else or go to guild meeting that you learn that tip and you're like, well, why didn't I think of that?
Right. That's the best part. Now, we broke this up into a lot of different segments, sort of taking through the actual process of quilting. So the first topic that we're going to talk about is inspiration, because in order to make a quilt, you need to be inspired. You need to have, you know, why are you going to make that quilt? So I don't know. Who's going to talk first? Let's see. What about Miss Jill?
Well, I'm inspired by art, whether it's a photograph or a painting or a drawing. However that artist sees light, I try and translate that into my quilting.
Ooh, that's really cool. Elizabeth, what do you
Well, for me, it almost always starts with the pattern. We have, obviously, so many great quilt patterns in American Patchwork and Quilting magazines that all I have to do is just pick one that really speaks to me, and then I can go to my stash and start pulling fabrics.
Yeah. Now, I'm just really curious, because you're a regular quilter, just like I'm a regular quilter. I mean, are you constantly, you know, outside of your job, are you constantly, like, looking at the magazines and saying, you know, gosh, I really want to make that one, like, now?
Well,
are you like us?
Well, yeah, I, of course, have a list of must-make magazines, must-make quilts.
Right.
I'm sure
yeah.
at least two from every magazine kind of makes its way onto my list.
Onto your list.
And then if I, you know, when I get time to sew, I'll look at that list or flip through about 5 years of back issues and find the quilt that really inspires me at that point in time.
Yeah, and sometimes there are techniques and things, too, that you might want to try. You know, Jennifer, what are you doing with your inspiration?
I'm really inspired. I look mostly at shapes. I mean, it seems like the shapes inspire me. I'll be really into circles or really into triangles or stripe patterns, rectangles. Whatever the shape is what drives me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I like to tell people, sometimes it's the fabric. I kind of tell people I have fabric ADD. I go into the quilt shop, I find a collection I love, and I don't know why, but I just have to make that. And my best example of that is I did a quilt all out of Asian fabrics, and they had a little bit of metallic in it.
Yeah.
It goes with nothing in my home decor, but I absolutely fell in love with this fabric, and I just had to have my hands on it and work with it for a while and make that quilt.
Yeah, I like that part, too, because the fabric is so exciting that you just have to use it. I often am inspired by antique quilts. That's what I like. I like to look at antique quilts. I like to look at the books and just think, you know, I want to take that and make it my own and make, you know, work it into something modern or, you know, use different fabrics. And it's a lot of fun. All of this is a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. How do you sort your fabrics, Pat?
Oh, my gosh. How do I sort my fabrics? Well, how do I sort them today versus years ago? You know, when you've quilted a while, it changes. You learn a lot. So when I first started, I used to keep a lot of things in containers. And I think a lot of people do that. They put them in boxes or whatever, put them under the bed, they're covered up. And I found over time that if it was in a box, it didn't exist anymore. In my mind, I didn't own it. And so I have to see everything now. So it's all open and by color. And some things like that. But I know you guys have other tips, too.
Well, I still sort by color, but I've broken it out into maybe more categories. So all of my batiks are in one area, all mm-hmm. sorted by color. Mm-hmm. And all of my reproductions, both Civil War together mm-hmm. and 30s are together. And then all of my polka dots actually are in one giant bin.
Oh, really? Your polka dots?
Yeah, so I sort it in a variety of different ways.
So are you mixing your fabrics?
I mix everything. So yeah. It's kind of dumb that I sort it by Civil War polka dot batik, because when I make a quilt, the scrappier the better. So I mm-hmm. mix it all together. Mm-hmm. But I want to be purposeful about that.
Yeah.
So that's why I have
it. Well, it helps you
it
find it, too,
yeah.
because you don't want to be buying. Have any of you bought the same fabric again?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you forget you owned it and you need the fabric savant with you to tell you you've already purchased that. Yeah.
I figure that's why I know I really love it when I buy it two and three times. But we call Elizabeth in the office, we call her our serial unwrapper, because she does not really respect the fat quarter bundle or the strips that are pre-cut and rolled up. And so Jill and I always say she's like our serial unwrapper. We hate to be with her because I'm of the ilk. I sort my fabric by color, but I keep collections together. And I generally, you know, I love fat quarter bundles. I love mm-hmm. all those innovative ways that quilt shops wrap it up. Mm-hmm. But I buy one to use and one to save because I love the way it looks.
And this decoration.
It never looks the same when you take one out and put it back in. And Elizabeth's always trying to sneak it by us in the office. But we're like, no, don't mess up that bundle.
I sort mine by colors, too. But do them all by colors. They're in big see-through bins, but they're all behind closed doors.
Ah.
So I don't have the jumble of looking at all of them all the time.
That's distracting, isn't it, Jill?
It is. It is. I need that clean look
clean
all
look.
The way around.
Are now, your bins the same color? Do you have?
They're clear.
They're clear. Okay. So you can sort of see in the front and... Do you label on the front?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. And then I change the labels, right, as the yellow collection grows and it gets two bins.
Yeah.
But the batiks are separate, just like Elizabeth. And then the polka dots are separate.
Oh.
And then they're done by colors because there are quite a few of those. Stripes
quite,
the same way.
Quite a few.
Yeah, we're the polka dot queens.
Now, on my labels, on my bins, I have clear bins too, but on my labels, I put one on the side and one on the front so that no matter how I have them turned, because I was forever spinning the bin around looking for the end that had the label on it.
Ah.
So I put multi.
Now, I had a student recently who told me that she had her husband build custom shelving so that she bought a certain size bin that she could fit the fat quarters in so they could sit nicely on the end or whatever. And then he built the shelving so that it was the most effective use of space to put these
bins. That would
bins.
Be awesome if we all had a custom woodworker at home to do that.
I know. Let's hire one and just come around to all our houses, build custom. That would be really fun. So, you know, what happens after we, you know, have fabric? You know, at that point, we need
to... What about patterns?
Yeah.
How do you sort your patterns?
Holy cow. Okay.
Mine are in bins, so they stand up and they're divided. So I know that jacket patterns are here and vest patterns are here and baby quilts are behind this divider. And they're multiple bins.
Well, of course, we're big fans of magazine patterns, and I have
course.
A hard time. I always admire people who can tear out just the projects they want from their magazine and keep those and recycle the rest, but that's not me. Mm-hmm. I need to have the whole magazine in its entirety, so I have a whole library of magazine racks that my things go in year by year, and then I use little post-it note flags to highlight the ones that I want to make sure I go back and remember. And I have, at times, I'm not always as good about this, but color-coded my flags so I know that a green quilt is for a certain person or a pink quilt is a baby girl quilt or things mm-hmm. like that. And then the other product I love is the clip it up turnstile. It's used in scrapbooking.
Yeah.
And for my single patterns that are in sleeves, we're all sort of pattern junkies here, even though we work for the magazine, we collect patterns and books. And so I use the clip it up to store my individual patterns in, and I sort those like Jill does by theme, baby quilt, those kinds of things.
So this is like a little revolving thing with clips on it. So about how many can you get on there?
Well, I'm sure my break the mold for how many can you put on there and how many should you put on there are two very different things.
And do you have multiples of those? Do they have to stand on a shelf and take up?
Well, they have a floor model now, which I kind of covet, but I don't own that yet. And then my books, I, of course, stack a lot of them in, you know, bookshelves, but I also have a plate rack that I got a few years ago, and I wasn't using it as a plate rack. So some of my little skinny books I stick in the areas where the plates would go, and I just have a few by a particular author in there.
Well, so, Elizabeth, what do you do with your patterns?
Well, I think I do everything that Jennifer does. I have to clip it up as well, but not the floor model. So, I use that, and I love that thing because you can spin it around. You feel like you're in a quilt shop.
So, yeah, right.
My sewing room is now a quilt shop with all the fabric and the patterns and everything all neatly arranged. But
and do you tear out of the magazines at all, or you have to keep the whole thing?
I usually keep the whole thing.
Yeah. Now I do have to say that I will tear out of the magazines because I have a very small home and I don't have a lot of storage, and because I run the business in my home, you know, I just have so much stuff, and I will do tear sheets. And though, you know, of course, occasionally now I've had to go and buy old issues to get the things that I now discover I would have liked to have kept. So, yeah. So we are, going along here, but I think we want to take a little break. And we're going to come back, because when we come back, we have got, like, the, you know, next thing that you're going to do with quilting. Because after you do that, you have to talk a little bit more about fabric, of course. So, everybody stay tuned. We're going to be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is your host, Pat Sloan, with the editors of the magazine.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
You're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm here with the editors of the magazine, American Patchwork and Quilting. And we have been talking about the new So Much Better program. And we have all kinds of tips and tricks. The last segment we did inspiration and sorting your patterns. And now we're going to talk about fabric. Fabric. Ah, the best part.
Selecting fabric for a project is my second favorite part.
Oh, we'll get to second?
It is my second favorite, but it is a high point for me. I do love it. And one of the tips I want to share with our listeners is one that came from Carrie Nelson.
Oh, Miss Rosie.
Miss Rosie. She has a great one. And she says, when you're sorting fabrics for a scrap quilt, laying them out and seeing what you like, don't put them you know, light, light, light fabric, medium, 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 dark, uh-huh. dark, dark. Mix them up because that's how your eye is going to see them in the finished quilt. And I think that's great advice because sometimes we do tend to sort by light, medium, and dark value and not mix them up.
I think, though, I like that, but apparently I love sorting fabrics or selecting fabrics for a quilt so much. It's my favorite part.
Oh, it's your favorite part?
It's totally my favorite part.
Oh,
so,
I like it too.
Apparently I want as much time with those fabrics as possible, so I subscribe to Terry Atkinson's method of auditioning fabrics for, especially for scrappy quilts.
Okay.
So you pick a bunch of fabrics, lay them all out with just a little bit of them, each of them showing, and she does first sort them by light, 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 medium, 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 dark, 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 and then you kind of see what's missing and see if you need to add anything or take anything out, but then resort it in a whole nother way, so then we're going to sort it from maybe large print down to small print and see how this whole time you're fondling the fabrics again and again. And then after you do that sorting and auditioning, then we're going to resort it yet again by color family.
Okay.
So you just look at it in all those different ways, and each time something's going to jump out at you that is either missing or that you need to take out of there. So
Elizabeth, you actually like to do that yourself, too.
Oh, I love to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so you'll just play around with it in multiple variations, so you eventually see what it needs, what the pile needs.
Exactly.
What exactly is missing.
Yep.
Really nice.
But, you know, if you don't have that confidence about picking out colors and you're really baffled by it, look at the edge of the fabric. Along the selvage, you'll see there are little dots of color, and you can use those little colors as a key for picking up what other coordinating fabrics to use. Those little dots represent all the dye colors that were used in that print, and they're a quick and easy reference for taking to the fabric store for picking out other fabrics to go with it, or your own stash. Because you can find great things in there that you never would have dreamed of putting
in. In my stash, in my fabric store stash.
Yeah. That's right.
First
place to shop, your own stash.
So, Jill, when you have the selvage out, will you leave it on the fabric, or will you cut it off and take it around to, you know, will you take it shopping with you?
I take it shopping with me. Oh. I always cut it off. I never include it in a project because it's so tightly woven.
Right.
It throws everything off. So you never want to include that in your actual project.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great little guide to take with you, and they're fun to collect, too.
You know, I think I saw one time at a show, a lady had a bunch of those, and she tied them like almost like a little tassel, and it was hanging off of her purse. And I think she even may have told me she was using that to look for colors.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect way to do it.
Yeah, you take the selvage from every fabric, basically, that still has the selvage, and you tie it all together
decoration.
And bring it with you, maybe even on a key ring, and take it with you to the
store
or
to the show when you're going to show. Yeah, very good.
Well, if you're, you know, Jill was talking about confidence in choosing colors and things, but, you know, if you have, we have another reader tip about, if you have a couple different colorways in mind and you don't know which one is maybe the best for this project, just go ahead and take the time to make a block of each of those colorways. And then, you know, they're not going to be wasted blocks. So once you finally pick which block or which colorway you want to keep, just use the rest as pillows and table runners or a quick gift. Mm-hmm. We always need those. So.
Yeah, trivets, they won't go to waste, will they?
Exactly.
But, you know, that's really good to make the selection like that, because when you take that big piece of fabric and cut it, it really looks different, doesn't it?
It does.
Right. It's not going to look the same. So that'll help you decide if it's going to be a quilt you love.
And absolutely. I'm a lover of scrappy quilts. I love the more fabrics, the better. And one of my favorite tips came to us from a designer, Kathy Holland, who does marvelous scrap quilts for the magazine. And what I love about Kathy's philosophy is, you know, we all get into the quilt shop and we think, how much fabric should I buy?
Mm-hmm.
And my first instinct is 3 yards.
Yeah.
You know, what can't you do with
3 yards? Right.
But sometimes that's not practical because you have suitcase limits and whatever.
Right.
And so Kathy's tip is to buy a half a yard of fabric.
Okay.
And then she takes that half yard, cuts a fat quarter off, and saves that fat quarter so if she wants to do an applique project, she has a big enough piece to do an applique. And then she takes the remainder and cuts it into 2.5 and 3.5 inch strips and puts it into bins that are sorted by those sizes. So when she's making a quilt project that starts with a 2.5 inch by, you know, whatever dimension, she can pull out that bin. She doesn't have to tear her whole sewing room apart. She just pulls out the 2.5 or 3.5 inch bin and is ready to start subcutting her pieces from there. And I think that's a great idea if you love scrappy quilts, because I think we've all done the thing where you're starting a project and you pull out hundreds of pieces of fabric and you need 12, but you just haven't found just the right one.
Yeah. And that's daunting because now you have this huge, big mess in a way. And it's a little bit like, oh, you know, you got to put it away, you know, or not. But, you know, it's sort of nice to have space. But, yeah, you pre-cut them and then you can
sure you have a scrappy mix. And just like you were talking about, you see that fabric in a different way when you only see 2.5 inches of it.
Right.
Looks
very different
than the half yard
cut. It's almost like making your own, like, jelly rolls and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's,
I do that all the time.
Yeah. And do you take apart your jelly rolls?
Yes, I take them apart. Wind them all up and show them to Jennifer and Jill, and they think it looks beautiful, and then you take them apart
and you sort them.
It's cruel.
It's cruel. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I am often inspired because, well, first of all, I design. So when I design, you know, and I design my fabric lines or whatever, I do make quilts, you know, to show off that fabric. But I often have a fabric that I just have to make something out of. And so, you know, that starts the whole quilt, you know, right away. You know, that's the one that you have to do. I have a stack right now of aqua and orange.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's calling me. I have to do something with aqua and orange.
Well, next up, let's talk about cutting.
Cutting.
Who all likes the cutting process?
Hmm.
Not me. Cutting is my least favorite. Now, I told you that selecting fabrics was my second favorite, but cutting is by far my least favorite. And we get tips from readers on both sides of the fence here. Some who will say, you know, if you just sit down and cut out everything at once, then when you're ready to sit down and sew, you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then other readers will send us tips that say they cut it out one block at a time because they don't enjoy the cutting process and they want to cut just enough to make
zoom,
a block.
Zoom.
And make that block and have that sense of accomplishment. So I think that depends on what your school of thought is. I find when I'm getting ready to go on a retreat or something, I really hate cutting at a retreat because I feel like I should be sitting down to sew the minute I get there. So I like to have it pre-cut for that.
Okay, Miss Jill.
Well, I make sure I always use the same ruler, and I have my favorite, but I make sure I use that same ruler for everything I'm cutting for one project.
And the reason is?
They might vary. Maybe one is worn a little bit. Might vary from ruler to ruler. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure every 5-inch square is 5 inches square.
Right. I actually did a photo once of a ruler. Somebody was having a trouble, so I took a photo of it, and it had a piece out. I mean, from where worn out of it. Worn away, and it was almost an eighth of an inch.
Oh, my gosh.
That was obviously their favorite ruler.
Yeah, it was. That was it. It was their favorite ruler. So, you know, for those of you who are using a ruler a lot and all of a sudden maybe your blocks aren't what you thought they were, you know, you might look at getting a new ruler.
Yep. We can take a page out of the knitter's guide, too. Knitters always knit knit a gauge.
Right, so they can test it.
They test that pattern so they know there's going to be the right size. And I find when I do that with a block and test one block before I cut everything out, make sure that everything is accurate, then it's okay. It gives me the go-ahead to go ahead and cut out the remainder of the block.
Elizabeth, you have a, you know, something you like about lighting.
Well, yeah, actually, one of my favorite tips for cutting has nothing to do with anything sharp or a ruler or a mat, anything like that, but making sure that you're surrounded by good light is actually one of the best ways to ensure accuracy when you're cutting. And I know people that they won't cut at night because they realize that, you know, that is a strain on your eyes unless you have wonderful lighting. So they just reserve that for the daytime. But I fortunately have tons of lighting because I do my best sewing and cutting at about 2 a.m. So
is it like a spotlight in your studio?
There you go. I have a spotlight on actually that I can turn around. So whether it's shining on my machine in conjunction with the light that's in my machine.
Yeah.
And then, or I can just turn it and it goes to the rotary cutting station. Just lighting is just essential.
It's key to good cutting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I am like a huge advocate of a new blade in your rotary cutter. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times. Sometimes I think I should just change the blade for every project. Because after a while, you feel like it's a struggle. You know, why is this such a struggle to make your cut? And it's the blade's dulling. So a new blade.
Right.
Jennifer.
I agree. And I think Monique Dillard of Open Gate Designs, when she mm-hmm. teaches, she always says that in addition to having a sharp blade, she tries to never cut more than 4 thicknesses at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we see the marketing material and it tells you can cut through incredible thicknesses of fabric. But even though it takes longer to cut an entire project, if you limit yourself to 4 thicknesses, your accuracy is probably going to be a little bit better mm-hmm. at that time. My other favorite tip, and this is one I hadn't really thought about, came to us from a shop owner, Mary Beth Hartnett, and she's around Pittsburgh. And her tip was that she sees a lot of quilters trying to cut while standing right behind the cutting edge of the ruler. So imagine mm-hmm. if you're standing at your cutting table and you sort of have your belly button aligned with
like right
the center
the
of the right in the middle of the ruler. And when you do that, if you push your arm straight out like you would with a rotary cutter, you see your arm kind of has to swerve or arc in order to mm-hmm. make that cut. So if you stand with your hip, so if you're right-handed, stand with your right hip mm-hmm. aligned with that cutting edge so that your arm goes straight out when you're making that cut. Your cuts are easier, they're straighter, and there's less chance of running up on the ruler or swerving, and that can also help your blades last longer.
Ah. Now, we do have one more tip that Elizabeth had talked about earlier, which was starch.
Well, I am admitting that I am a starch junkie.
Starcher.
So I think it just really increases the accuracy of my piecing when I starch all of my fabric before I cut it. And sometimes mm-hmm. I use starch, sometimes I use Best Press, mm-hmm. which is a starch alternative. And I press it all and it's nice and crisp. And I think it just adds to the perfection when you cut it.
Right, you don't get that shifting of
the
fabric.
Yeah, it doesn't shift at all.
And I would add to that about Elizabeth's comment about good lighting. For me, that frosted ruler mm-hmm. that Olfa has introduced has made a world of difference in terms of seeing the line that I want to cut on. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what it is about eyes and aging, but I'm right there with not being able to see those little quarter-inch lines as well as I once did. So that frosted ruler has made all the difference to me.
Wonderful. Well, we have just, you know, had a zillion tips here, and we're going to have a lot more. So we're going to take a break, and if you'd come back for the next segment, we will talk about piecing. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're back with our series called So Much Better, and I'm here with the editors of the magazine. I've got Jill and Jennifer and Elizabeth, and we are just dishing on techniques. And the thing we were talking about earlier was cutting and selecting fabrics, and now we're going to talk piecing, because, you know, we have a lot of piecers out there. You know, just sewing blocks is heavenly, isn't it?
It is, Pat. What I do before I start piecing, though, because yes, once I get started, I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
So I wind multiple bobbins.
Multiple.
There's nothing worse than just sewing, speeding along, and out of bobbin thread.
I know. And don't you wish you could just put the whole spool under there?
I do.
I do. And they don't allow that.
That's my dream machine.
Yes.
I always say, if they could just invent a way that you could put the whole spool in the bottom,
right,
I'd be golden.
Absolutely.
So now, how many bobbins do you actually wind?
Well, three or four.
Three
but
or four.
I only use three colors of thread, a light, a medium, and a dark, unless it's going to show.
Okay.
So
for
I'm piecing, pretty
safe. You're pretty safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You know, though, I am a competitive sewer. I like to go as fast as possible. I do a lot of teaching, and I find I always have at least a couple of speed demons, too.
Oh, my.
But you know what? They don't give any awards for fast sewing and quilting.
No.
Have you noticed that?
What is with that? You would win, wouldn't you?
I would.
You'd be like, you'd have like the, you know, the NASCAR award for that or something.
I would. There's a downside to sewing so fast, though. And if I slow myself down to a steady pace, my stitching is a lot more even. My seam allowance is a lot more even. It really pays off in accuracy. So I try and slow down, enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a pastime. This is a hobby. Why am I racing through the part I enjoy the most? I don't know.
Right,
but
right.
Slow and steady wins the race.
For accuracy, you know, you were talking about slowing down, but try as hard as I can. I have not really perfected that scant quarter inch seam.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I really can't sew without is a quarter inch foot with a guide on it. So all I have to do is just butt that fabric right up alongside that guide, and I have a perfect quarter inch seam.
Now, Elizabeth, the guide is actually like a little lever, isn't it, that sort of sticks
mine is
out.
Just, yeah, it's like a little thing that's just attached to my foot, and it rides right alongside the right hand side.
Right, so your fabric just butts up and hits that, and if it's not buckling, then you know you're...
Exactly, and it just makes it so easy to sew, and you know it'll be perfect.
And getting that quarter-inch seam allowance is really the quest of quilters everywhere.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
What I think is fascinating is sometimes we forget that it's okay to just spend some time practicing to make sure you've got it right before you set in sewing your blocks. And so since that seam allowance is such a key to ensuring consistency, if you're not sure you have the correct seam allowance or you don't have your quarter-inch foot lined up quite right or whatever sort of seam guide you're using, what we always suggest is to cut 3 1.5-inch wide strips and sew them together using a quarter-inch seam allowance. Press those seams toward the side strips or away from the center strip and measure the center strip. If it's less than 1 inch wide, then your seam allowance is too wide. If it's larger than 1 inch, then your seam allowance is too narrow.
Okay.
And you should keep working to adjust your seam allowance until the strip is a true 1 inch and measure it with that ruler and make sure. And that will solve a multitude of problems about having a bunch of different blocks when you're done that don't all fit together.
Right.
If you know from the beginning you're sewing with exactly a quarter inch seam.
Every little bit, people don't realize, do they? Every little bit that it's off just grows as you make more blocks. An eighth of an inch soon becomes a full inch that you're off.
Or a 16th of an inch.
Yep.
If you're off by that, you multiply it by a block that has 25 pieces in it. Well, you're off by, I can't do the math.
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, it just grows and grows and grows.
Not so bad on a table runner, but
on a king-size
enormous
quilt. Yeah.
Exactly, on a king-size quilt. The other thing you can do is there are some little ways to fudge if you're a little bit off when you're sewing two pieces together. And one of the best tips I think that people can use is if one of the two pieces you're sewing together is a wee bit longer than the other, then sew with the longer piece on the bottom against the feed dogs of your machine because those feed dogs will help ease in that gather up that ease just a little bit so they come out even at the start and finish.
You know, Pat, my all-time favorite tool for sewing and quilting is the even feed foot or attachment.
That's like the walking foot?
It is the walking foot. Mm-hmm. I use it for everything. Piecing, quilting, you name
really?
It.
Really?
Yes. All layers of the fabric are going through the machine at the same rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
If I keep the regular presser foot on there, the bottom is walking through. That little feed dog walks the fabric through. The top layer is being pushed.
Right.
So they don't go through at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
With the walking foot, they're both just... They're walking through.
Now, you don't find any problem with that bigger foot, because it's generally bigger than your regular piecing foot.
It is bigger, particularly with the attachment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let it get in my way.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. There
it's
you
worth
go.
It to me.
From Jill. She has told you it's worth it. Now they do have actually different feet for the walking foot.
They
for
do?
For some manufacturers. You can put on something that might work better if what it came with is not helping you out.
Right. And some have it built into the machine.
Right. Oh, Yeah. Cool.
So Pat, how do you start and end? Do you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, mostly I do a lot of applique. So you all know that I do piece. I'm not like a really heavy-duty precision piecer. But one thing that I need to do when I work is be sure that I don't get all those threads sucked down in when I first start. So I can just hold the tails when I start, or use leaders and enders, which are two, either a piece of fabric that's a junk fabric that you just use it over and over again, or you can use one of the techniques. You know, my friend Bonnie Hunter does a lot with actually taking squares. You know, you talked about earlier keeping things to make scrap quilts, where you can actually make that quilt as you go by using two squares to start and sew them, two squares to end, and then that way it's not pulling and sucking your threads all the time.
So pretty soon you'd probably put them together and have a 4-patch or a 9-patch.
Exactly.
Or that sounds like one of my favorite tips from a reader, is that she always has a pineapple block in progress. So like a foundation piece pineapple block.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than using a leader or ender, she will just sew off and on to that pineapple block, adding one strip at the end of every block while she's stitching. And pretty soon, I mean, that block will be done in no time.
Yeah, and you could make all kinds of blocks that way.
Yeah.
Neat.
I find sometimes my finger won't get right down under the machine where, well, it could.
Really?
But I'd rather not have it go there under the needle. But I can use a bamboo skewer, mm-hmm, or a chopstick instead of a stiletto, which, mm-hmm, is a special little tool. It causes less damage to the needle if perchance my needle should hit the bamboo skewer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easily and inexpensively replaced. You can buy a whole lot of bamboo skewers at the dollar store.
You know, I had a student give me once a like from crafting, it was like a quill or something, really long and slender and very pointy on the end. That worked too.
So I guess for quilling.
So you could just push it under there.
A favorite tip that comes from quilt designer Joanna Figueroa. Joanna says if your blocks aren't lining up and you're not catching your points, just, mm-hmm, like you'd like to have them be just perfect, sew on the side that's where the piece section is up so you can see that point that you're trying to make perfect.
Mm.
This way you can fudge your seam allowance a tiny bit either in or out as you need to. And you turn it over, open it up, and right on point.
Right on the point. Ah.
You know, we talked a lot about some of the other tips are about chain piecing, but I don't, mm-hmm, know if everyone knows what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So chain piecing really is something that just saves so much time. So you sew two units or two squares or two blocks together, and then just sew a few more stitches and then sew right on to your next set of units or set of pieces.
And it doesn't hurt the machine at all.
Not at all, no.
So you actually have like a little thread in between,
mm-hmm,
them.
It's a little chain,
right.
So those two threads have stitched
together.
And when you're chain piecing, one of the best tips, again, from Terry Atkinson, she's got the best tips and tricks, she suggests having the needle down
in the fabric.
Oh, yeah. So you stop
with
the needle down. So that means your feed dogs are in the down position. So they're not going to be in the way when you're trying to push in position your next piece of,
mm-hmm,
stitched units. They'll just slide right in
so
there.
So they're not going to have any shifting because your needle's actually in the fabric.
Well, and they won't get caught up on those feed dogs.
Cool. You also have a tip, and I don't know who it's, whether it's something you do, Elizabeth, or you've read like a read or something with the keeping track of your project.
Oh yeah, I think this is for those of us who, and I don't know who isn't, who are busy all of the time. So you really just find just a few minutes here and there to mm-hmm. sew. So when you're working on a project, you know there are always multiple steps to that. So if you finished one, check it off, you know, as you're done, because then there won't be confusion when you come back. You'll know exactly where to start back up, and you won't waste time figuring that out.
And if you're working out of a book, let's say, instead of something like, you know, maybe you feel comfortable checking off in your magazine, but you don't want to write in your book, you can make a photocopy of mm-hmm. the page and just have it there to check off, you know, where you're at. Nice. We like nice tips.
Absolutely. And sometimes one of my favorite tips came from Barbara Groves and Mary Jacobson of Me and My Sister Designs, and they are known, I think, for doing a lot of objects and things other than traditional quilts. And while quilters mm-hmm. often love to make a bag or make a garment, there are some shapes that we're not as familiar with when mm-hmm. we're working with that, and you can get into some really awkward spots under your presser foot where you need to put a pin or you really have to have something stuck together. But it as Jill said, sometimes you don't want to have your fingers under there when you're trying to sew. So their tip was, when you're making tote bags, there can be awkward places where something absolutely needs to be pinned, and they suggest that you baste the area with a small piece of fusible web tape.
Oh.
And then sew it. And if you fuse it together, then you don't have to have a pin holding it together. You can sort of manipulate your project underneath the presser foot and get it to exactly where you want to stitch it, but there's no need to struggle with pins in small areas. And I thought that was a great tip.
Now, you have some stuff online on allpeoplequilt.com. You have, like, a lot of videos. Do you have any on some piecing?
Absolutely. There's a whole tips and techniques section. There are project and ideas. There are videos for special techniques. And every step of the quilting process, really, there's something that if you want to learn or you want to see a closer look, we try to do videos of those things that are really hard to read about in words, that maybe sometimes a picture really is worth 1,000 words.
You're right.
And if you see it happen. So if you're struggling with something, for sure, go to allpeoplequilt.com and look at those two tabs at the top, projects and ideas or tips and techniques, to learn more about how some of these things are done.
Because a video, sometimes you just need to watch somebody do it. You know, it's showing it like that. You can, you know, we can talk about it. That's going to click with some of you. But some of you are going to be like, I really like to see how Jill Speed sews, you know. Do we have one of Jill Speed sewing?
It's amazing. She has to wear a seatbelt.
Oh. Yeah.
We haven't made her wear a helmet yet, but we're close.
It's coming. You know, I'm going to have to get some sewing in time in with you girls. That's for sure. Well, we have a lot more tips coming up and different segments for this So Much Better series of programs. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to take another little break. And when we come back, we have the ultimate topic, really, really ultimate, pressing.
It's a hot topic.
It's a So this is allpeoplequilt.com, the website, and this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with the editors of the magazine.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king size quilt. The smooth surface of our height adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan here. We're doing the So Much Better series with the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine, and we have moved on to pressing. And I don't think enough people know about pressing. I really understand what pressing can do to help them with their quilting, to make their quilting better. And we have Jill, who is an advocate of pressing.
Absolutely. I believe pressing can cover a multitude of sins.
Really?
Pressing from the very beginning, before you even cut out your pieces.
I mean, like when you have fabric, just before you've sewn anything.
Absolutely.
You're like thinking pressing from when it's on the shelf.
From very beginning. Yeah, practically on the shelf. But once you've sewn that first seam, you want to set that seam. And what setting is doing, it is pressing it just like you sewed it.
Right, without opening it
anything.
It's just...
And there's a difference between pressing and ironing.
Yes, please explain that, because I don't think everybody understands that.
Well, save ironing for shirts if you really want to do it. That's gliding the iron back and forth on the fabric. Pressing, put the iron down on the fabric, pick it up, move it to another spot, put it down again.
So no sliding.
No sliding, no gliding, no ice skating. Just strictly pick it up, put it down, move it. So... And the reason you don't want to iron,
right,
is it stretches your fabric.
Oh, because it's warmed up? Is that one of the key things?
Yes, and you're pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
warm fibers pulled.
Right, and think about if your stitching line is on the bias and you're gliding there along, that'll just keep growing right as you move it. So set that seam, no matter whether it's on the straight of the fabric or on the bias. Press it before you open it up. Now, I think one of the keys to pressing is allowing the fabric to cool off every time you press it.
Every time.
Now, you heard me talk about sewing fast.
Right.
I like to iron fast, too. So how do I do that? I clip a fan onto my ironing surface.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
So there's this gentle little breeze blowing across my fabric.
Aren't you clever?
So it cools off faster.
Faster.
So I can move on to the next
You're
step.
You're serious about this, Jill.
I am serious.
So now, Elizabeth, you know, do you advocate this also? Or are you like a supreme presser?
Jill's a little over the top. Pressing is really important. I know that. I know it in my head, but I also, it's not one of my favorite things to do. There are different kinds of pressing, you know, whether you use steam or you don't use steam, and I'm kind of torn about that. And I know a lot of sewers feel strongly steam or no steam.
Steam or no steam.
Right, let's get this out on the table now. I am a steam junkie. I have the steam iron that has the tank attached to it.
Oh,
there's no automatic
serious
shutoff,
girl.
Free facial with every block you press. It's awesome.
Me too. The only reason for not using steam is if there's no water available.
A drought.
I love steam too, but again, remember I told you I was addicted to Best Press, so I also use that a lot. I mean, it's like if I'm working with nice, crisp pieces when I sewed them. I actually love them to continue to be nice and crisp when I'm sewing units together. So I press those, and I think, or I use Best Press when I press, and I think it's just a really crisp
And you have steam with that also. So you've wet the fabric, and then you are steaming it to dry it out.
Yeah. And I know there are a lot of people, a lot of designers don't use steam. You know, they do think that if you have, especially if you have a heavy hand, you can distort that fabric even more. You know, Jill was talking about how if you slide the iron along, even without steam, you're going to distort it. So imagine if you if they're all wet and, you know.
You're pulling it even more then. Yeah, I also like steam. So I think we're like, we're on the steam side of the table. But
we're on the steam team.
The steam team. There it goes. But it, but if you don't, you know, are advocating no steam, the people, it's mostly because they don't want it to stretch. The feeling that that extra moisture, and maybe if somebody's having problems and they are a steamer, maybe they should stop and try it.
I think, too, people don't sometimes use equipment. I mean, you really, it's worth the investment. A good iron can be an expensive investment, but it's totally worth it. And if you have a steam iron that is spitting a lot of water or it's unreliable, then you need to step up to a really great steam iron that gives you that awesome amount of steam
pumps.
Where you feel like maybe you could work at a dry cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a really high pump iron right now. So it just, you know, it's always effective. It's always, you know, working. So what do we do about water in here? You know, are we like filling the tanks all the time? I mean,
I use a tank iron that I have to fill about once every 8 hours. And I mean, I can steam all day. I can get a whole day of quilting in and I don't have to refill it. And I'm not, I don't use distilled water. I probably should, but I just use tap water and let it roll and it's worked fine for me.
Well, I was just teaching yesterday and a lady, Bernice, hi Bernice, in the class had the greatest tip. You know, those like pretty creamer bottles, you know, that you get your creamer for your coffee. She pulled the label off, filled it, and it's got a great lid on it for pouring creamer into your coffee. So she's using that for water now.
Great, and no spills because it has a lid.
Right, and it clips down when it shuts. So if it tips over, she brings it to workshops so she can bring it in her case.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
Now, when you're pressing a unit, I like to press it from the right side when it's pieced.
Okay.
That way you can make sure it's completely opened up. Little folds and little tucks can always be caught in those seams if you're pressing it from the wrong side. So don't be afraid to press it from the right side and make sure that it's completely flat.
Now, you know, do you have a tip, Jill, for people to be sure that they've got it open properly? Is it just because we're hurrying sometimes that it doesn't open properly? So what happens is you don't get it all the way open and it's got that tuck, but you don't realize it. And then later when you go to work the block, it's actually bigger because you've trimmed it too small.
I think it's people not looking at the right side of the block. I mean, like Jill said, if they're pressing from the wrong side, then they don't see what they're doing. But not everybody is pressing their seams to one side anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of our designers actually press their seams open, and I know this can also be a hot button topic, you know, like steam. But so pressing open or to one side, a lot of people feel that pressing seams open helps you match up seams better. While those people who are still doing hand quilting, they definitely press to one side because they want the bulk of the seam completely on one side or the other so that they can hand stitch not through that bulk. So there are just differing viewpoints, and people really should find out what works best for them.
Do you have one top tip, Jill, for steam and pressing?
For pressing?
Yeah.
Do it more often than you think you need to. Press all those seams flat. Press them in the desired direction so that if you are a person that doesn't press them open, they'll just butt up next to each other and your seams will look like they're growing one into another.
And I think pressing more often is key. People don't, you know, you can't wait till the whole block's done.
If it means putting your ironing board right adjacent to your sewing machine at a lowered height so you can just swivel in the chair, do it. That would make it very easy to press in between each one. And don't forget that fan if you need to hurry up the process of cooling off.
this is an amazing amount of pressing knowledge. I mean, most people probably don't even think about it. Do you find that when you're out and about talking to people? They're like, what?
And it makes such a difference. Mm-hmm. Your blocks will come out the same size. They will go together more evenly. Mm-hmm. And your piecing will look beautiful.
Cool. We now have the tools and the knowledge for pressing. Well, we have had a fabulous show here of tips, tricks. We have a whole nother show planned, more segments for So Much Better from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More. We have here today, we've been talking with Jennifer Keltner, with Elizabeth Beasy, with Jill Mead. I'm just so excited to be here in their offices, being able to do this round table. Fun, fun, fun. So we're going to come back next show with the next segment, the applique and the finishing of the quilts. So this is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Be sure that you visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com, and we'll see you next time.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.